Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
Praise God. Michelle, I don't see how I can get any better. We're going to have to go to heaven. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, and thank you. Choir, you worshipers, you're worshiping. Praise God. You're not performing, you're worshiping. And we can tell. We can see the difference. It is glorious on you. You guys look glorious. You're awesome.
Thank you, Lord.
Awesome.
You know, as we were walking under the worthy banner, I don't know. I feel like there's many here probably that really don't feel worthy. And maybe you couldn't come up under here. I don't know. Or maybe you just didn't feel like you should right now. But I believe there are some who really don't feel worthy. And I'm here to tell you that it has nothing to do with you. Absolutely nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with whether you've messed up. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with what Jesus did for you. And you received him. If you have received him as your Savior, you are worthy even when you mess up. Even when you mess up. So I don't want you to ever feel unworthy because it has nothing to do with you. You just say, thank you, God. You made me worthy. You made me worthy. Thank you, Lord. And you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah for that. Not because of anything you did or didn't do, but because he made you righteous. So receive that and thank him for that.
Thank you, God.
Thank him for that.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
That is an awesome thought. Rick and Carla, would you come up here? These are two dear, precious, very precious people God has sent to our lives and our church family. Elders, would you come up and surround them? They're making this their official day of, and that's your membership form and application. We'll have to review that, and we need a DNA sample, background check, major credit card, and Rick came to us some time ago, and he just befriended me. We've shared books together and come into office and just spend some time together, and I fell in love with this guy. And then I got to meet his bride-to-be at that time, Carla, and she prayed to receive the Lord right there in the office. And I can see why you love him, but I can see why you love her. She is such a tender heart and so open to the things of God. She wants whatever God has for her.
Amen.
And you're in a scary church from what you're used to. I got to tell you that quickly. Rick told me this, and without Carla knowing about it, he said when they first started coming here, this is a different church because she has a Catholic background and everything, you know, so this is really a stretch. And she said to Rick one day, she said, I don't know, that's a hootenanny church. Never heard of a hootenanny church. So Rick just let me know that. I laughed. And so next time I saw Carla out there, she was serving out there, I said, welcome to the hootenanny church. And now you're officially one of us. How about that? It's just beautiful. It's just beautiful. Just stretch your hands toward them, and we just bless you. We bless you, precious children of God. We consider you God's gifts and treasures to this body. May you flourish here. May you grow here. May you be so fruitful here that you have abundance and that people would see Jesus in you and want what you have. May the life of God be expressed through you without any hindrance. And we thank you, God, for these gifts. Now, may we be good to them, pastor them, love them, care for them, and help them be the best they can be, and all the family of God as well here to love them and welcome them in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome, guys, to the Hootenanny Church. Woo! Never heard that one before. My goodness.
That's right. We got a new name.
We got a new name.
That one out.
We'll put that out there on the highway. Well, this is a special day. You can tell it, can't you? And we have a special lady. We've been looking forward as a result of Bruce and Jane introducing us to Judy. And today's the first day we met other than talking on the phone. And first time Pam and I talked to Judy, we fell in love with her right away. She carries the love of God so beautiful. And she's going to express the love of God to you today. So we're going to give her all the time that she needs. And remember now, tonight, too, we have a very special service. While she's here, we're going to put her to work. So we need her. And God's brought her here to with something special to deposit in your life. So open your heart to receive. Don't spend the first 5 minutes judging whether you want to listen to her or not.
Amen.
Push that aside. God brought her here to bless you.
Amen.
And to help us. So let's be receptive from the get-go and not let any word fall to the ground. Judy, come on up. We welcome you.
Yeah.
We love you. You're an easy person to love.
Thank you.
You want to stand up there or would you rather be down here?
I'll be down here.
You need a little stand for your Bible?
Well, maybe. Yeah.
You need a microphone right there, too. Yeah, let me get this stand for you.
Oh, what a blessing to be in his presence. Can you feel him? Oh, yes, sister. Woo, I was just going to take you by the hand and walk under the worthy with you and the power of God off you. Messed me up, sister. It is all right. Oh, hallelujah. I love being here in Wildwood, Florida. You know what? I'm going to fit right in. Yes, and I'm staying in the home of Rabbi Bruce and Jane. And if you want to know how my stay is with them, look up hospitality and it'll say, see Bruce and Jane. Oh, you talk about hospitality and everything just being done with a spirit of excellence. A spirit of excellence is all I see in this amazing church and these beautiful people. And you know, oh, what praise and worship. Oh, my goodness, how they usher in his presence. Woo, powerful. Now, sister, we're connected at the heart forever. I shall never forget this day. As long as there's breath in my body, I'll remember and praise God for the privilege of embracing you today. And I'll embrace you for eternity. Because here, there, in the air, woo! We're going to be together. Woo! Hallelujah. Hey, if I get too wild for y'all, if I get a little wild for you, is it okay? If I get too wild, if you'll just raise your hand, I'll try to calm down. I can't make any promises because I get tore up from the floor up in his presence. Because you know what? He's the only one that ever died for me. And I do get excited about it. And it's not very often. Well, I really don't ever apologize for it. Not going to. So, yeah, y'all going to get wild with me. Oh, hallelujah. We're in Wildwood, Florida. See, if you don't get wild, you ain't in, brother. Okay, now, wow, would. Woo, hallelujah. What an honor and a privilege to behold. See, I get excited because I knew I was coming to a family reunion because you're my people. You're all my brothers and my sisters. And what does a family reunion do for you? It just makes you reminisce. You go back, you eat, you drink, you're merry, you're full of joy. You see people that you have not seen in years. And today, I'm seeing my brothers and sisters for the first time in Wildwood, Florida. And to God, I'm grateful for that. Now, let me praise him. He gave me this praise prayer in May of 1995. And I'm telling you now, when he gave me this, it changed my life forever. And before services, I'm always mindful to praise him. He took my hand and he wrote it one morning in the fourth watch of the morning. And when I read it, it said, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things." Woo! All things. All things. "And for thy pleasure, they are and were created. Thou art Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. You are my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto you forever and ever. For you have brought us out of the darkness." You've called us out into the light. "And neither death nor life, nor depth nor height, nor any other creature shall ever be able to separate us from your love. You uphold all that fall. You raise up all that be bowed down. You know what we have need of even before we ask. You are nigh unto all that call upon you, and those that seek you early find you. You give strength unto your people. You bless your people with peace. You are our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Our sorrow is turned into joy before you, for you have given us eternal life through your Son and our Lord Jesus Christ, and by his stripes we are healed. Thanks be unto you for your unspeakable gift. Our soul doth magnify you, Lord, and our spirits rejoice in God our Savior." Amen. Amen. Woo, hallelujah. Now, from the Word this morning, we will go to Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40. Woo, hallelujah. I don't know how I scratched my hand, but I did. But it reminds me that Jesus bled and died for me. Whew. Maybe he's just reminding me of his blood today. Whew. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful, holy, anointed name. Wonderful Jesus, I give you praise. Holy Father, I honor you. I give you glory. Sweet Holy Ghost. Whew, my teacher, my God, my love, the lover of my soul. Whew. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Whew. Praise your holy name, Lord. Now go to Luke. I believe it would be chapter 10. Whew. Verse 25. And we're going through, let me see, 37. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he said unto him, how readest thou? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Who is the neighbor? Who is the neighbor? Now, but he willing to justify himself said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Now, if you look up neighbor in the Hebrew, in the Greek, it says someone near, someone close by. So look to the person next to you and say, hello, neighbor. Because, see, they're near. I'm your neighbor, brother. You're near. Whoever is near you, whoever is close by you, is their your neighbor. Your neighbors. It's not the one who just the one who lives across the road from you, or next door to you, or behind you. Today, God desires that we learn to love our neighbor as ourself. As we love our neighbor as ourself, we fulfill the law. We fulfill it all. You know what? I've heard before, good fences make good neighbors. I don't want no fence between me and my neighbor. I want my neighbor to be where I don't have to go around and get in a gate to get to my neighbor. I want to bless my neighbor. Every time I look out my door, my window, I want to bless my neighbor. God is going to elevate everybody in here today and seat you in a heavenly place that you have not sat in before. If you receive this message and learn to love your neighbor, you learn to love with his unconditional agape love. Sister, everything that God is saying today is going straight into your spirit. Because you know what? You're receiving and you are hungry for more of God. And today, you will receive, for he has promised, the Lord Jesus promised, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. This day, saith the Lord, you will be filled to overflowing. Everybody who has ever wronged you, everybody who has ever mistreated you, and there's been many over the years, this day, God's big hand will come down out of heaven and it will erase it from your very remembrance. Like the chalkboard of your life, like a teacher erases a chalkboard at the end of the day and hands you a new piece of chalk, and you'll write your life all over again, beginning today. From now till he inhales and takes back the breath that he gave you, you will write your story, and it'll be a beautiful story for all the world to see. This day, God is satisfying something in you that nothing's ever been able to satisfy. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Thank you for your presence. Everybody lift your hands and thank Jesus for his presence. Oh, hallelujah. He is in this place. Who is my neighbor? You is my neighbor. Every one of you, because you're near to me today and you're close by me today. When we come to this place where we just say, God's given me this thing to say. He's given me this thing to say. I'm sure when somebody says a word that might be considered against another person, God's given me this thing to say. I expect that they're like us. They're doing the best they know how. Now we'll join together and just pray for them. And people won't say nothing in your presence after that. No derogatory words. When we learn that to speak evil of no man but all the good of every man that we can think of, whew, when we learn to do that, we reap what we sow. Then people start saying good stuff about us. Come on. Woo! I'm going to say good about everybody. I told I was teaching a women's class one Sunday morning, and I said, all this week, just try it for a week. Till next Sunday, go about and say all the good you can about everybody you meet. And one of the young mamas in there said, you know, I thought I wasn't going to find anything about this one girl. Said because she was checking my groceries out at the little shopping state. And said, I looked at her and I thought, well, I said, but be sure you say truthful things because people know when it's flattery. I said, say truthful things. So she said, I looked her over and I looked her over and I said, God, what in the world can I say about the girl and it be truthful? And said, all of a sudden, I noticed that her makeup was pretty. And said, she said, the young girl had her head down while she checked out groceries. And said, I said, oh, your makeup is so pretty. And said, she lifted up her head and said, really? And she said, yes, your makeup is beautiful. And said the young girl started smiling and kept her head up. We can find something good about everybody. And we can learn from every person we come in contact with. Sometimes we learn what not to do, but can we learn? We can. Now, who is my neighbor? My neighbor is everybody I meet in my course of the day. Now, I'm going to give you the remainder of the word of Jesus because it is written in red. sometimes I just read the red and pray for the power. Woo! And it always comes. Sometimes I just read the red, brother. Because the blood. Woo! Just read the red. Read it. All right, here we go. This is going to change your life now. Do you want your life changed? If you don't, oh, you do. Okay. If you don't want your life changed, let me pray angels to surround you and keep you while you ease on back to the house. Because if you receive today, see, ain't nobody leaving. Praise the Lord. That's God, ain't it? If you receive the word today, and this is his word, not my word. See, I'm reading it so you'll know that I'm not adding to it or taking away from it, okay? All right. Okay, here is who your neighbor is. Jesus said, verse 30, Luke chapter 10, verse 30, and Jesus said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, meaning his clothes. He was stripped of his clothes. Okay. And wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, see, he was on his way to somewhere as he journeyed. Whew, Lord, have mercy, Jesus, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, which is 2 days of labor. He took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Now, okay, get a picture in your mind. He's been stripped of his clothes, his raiment, so he's naked. And he's been thrown in a ditch. And he's half dead. So, he's in serious condition. The Good Samaritan always remembers something. The Good Samaritan is already on his way somewhere else. He has plans for the day. Loving your neighbor as yourself will interrupt your journey. Loving your neighbor as yourself will change your plans. He pours in oil and wine into his wounds. Oil and wine will cost you something. It didn't just come free. Now notice, it doesn't say he poured it on his wounds. He said he poured it in his wounds. So they were deep. Then he takes him to the inn. He has to pay again for a room that he's just left. and he nurses him all night long. Oh, what love. He takes care of him. He puts off his plans till the next day. Oh, when you love your neighbor as yourself, you'll do everything for him that you would want done for you if you were naked, beaten by thieves, stripped of your raiment, no money, thrown in a ditch, half dead. You would do for that person what you would want done for you if truly you love your neighbor as yourself. Will it always cost you something? Absolutely. It will get in your bank account. I promise you it'll get in your bank account. But you know what? Proverbs 19:17 gives us a promise straight from God. It says, he that gives unto the poor lends unto the Lord, and the Lord shall surely repay him. Amen. So all you're doing is you're just lending to the Lord. Would you be willing to lend some of your money to the Lord? Woo! Hey, I love lending to the Lord because he surely repays me. He surely repays me over and over and over and over. My cup runneth over. It runneth over and over and over. Over. All the time over. Oh, you'll just have to try to settle me down if you can. I can't. I hope nobody gets in touch with Pastor Gary after I'm gone and says, what was you thinking? He wasn't. He obeys God. I'm here today on a mandate from God. I'm here to tell you who your neighbor is. I'm here to tell you how to love your neighbor. I love my neighbor. Listen, I love them so much that they have to like one way of it or another. I like my neighbors. I like to make them food. I like to take them clothes. I like to take them places. I like to do anything I can because every time I do, I'm lending to the Lord. Woo. And everything's a seed. I always remember that everything's a seed. Every word out of your mouth is a seed sown into the ground, the fertile ground of our heart. And beyond a shadow of a doubt, a seed comes up. We know not how. And it brings a harvest. Yeah. Whew. You can always tell what a thought will do in bringing you hate or love, for thoughts are things, and their airy wings are swifter than carrier doves. They follow the laws of the universe. Each thought creates its kind. Then it springs o'er the tracks to bring you back whatever went out of your mind. A thought is a thing. And thoughts return and bring us back what we send out in a more abundant supply. So if you send out nothing but love, guess what you get back? Nothing but love. And, hey, they told me when you go to Minnesota, they asked me, would I go to Minnesota? And I said, sure, I'll go when God opens the door. I go wherever he opens the door. Well, that was, I figured up the other day, in the past 8 months, I've spent nearly two whole months in Minnesota. I've done been three times. They said, now I just want to warn you so you won't get your feelings hurt. The people in Minnesota are not like the South. They're not going to love you like you love them. I said, I beg your pardon. God created us to love. They just ain't been loved yet. Not like I'm going to love them. Hey, I've received so much love from Minnesota till the people who told me that said, I had to repent for saying that to you because the people in Minnesota love you. I said, what's not to love about God? Amen. That's who we represent. See, I've done made my mind up. He said, we're just like Jesus. That's how we're to be in the earth. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. Now listen, let me tell you this. If he didn't mean it, he wouldn't have said it. And if it was unattainable, he would not have told us to do it. So it is not unattainable. And I don't ask him to do anything he's done. And I don't ask him, I don't think he would expect me to everything he's told me I can do. He means for me to do it. He don't mean for me to go to him and whine and complain. $5. I went to get my hair cut the other day and there was a sign. I went to a different lady and there was a sign on her mirror that said, I charge $5 for whining. And I thought, you'll never get my money because I praise God the whole time. I'm going to praise him with every breath that's in me because it's his breath. He deserves to be praised. All right, now, love your neighbor as yourself. Go out of your way. Find something, some way to love your neighbor. It's a good investment. You know, people are looking at the stock market. Not me. I don't have anything in that. I don't have one thing in the stock market. If the stock market goes down, does not affect me. You know why? I didn't put anything in there because I try my best. And I think it's a good thing, and it's got lots of good about it. But I never get anxious because I found this place where I know I can lay up some treasures. Where the economy ain't going to affect it. So I got all my stuff up there. I like it. And God said there's interest being added every day. I like earning interest. He's my, Jesus is my beloved. We're here today to make Jesus famous. Do you believe we can? I do too. I know I'm, I go all over the place, but if he wants to say something, he made the voice, he can talk through it. Okay. On the morrow, so he had to put off his journey for a whole day, overnight, probably around 24 hours, who knows. And on the morrow, verse 35, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto them, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay thee. In other words, he didn't care if it took weeks for him to recover. He said, whatever it costs, I'll pay it. Now, I'm going to tell you something in a minute so you won't get anxious about if it starts costing you a lot, okay? I'm going to tell you what God spoke to me. But he only spoke this to me after I got out on a limb. Have you ever seen a beautiful apple? And where was it? On the end of the flimsiest limb on the tree. You're thinking, how in the world is a little old limb like that holding up such a big, beautiful, fat apple? It's out on a limb. I've learned that if I want to get blessed, if I want to show God my faith, I have to get way. Brother, I get out on that limb so far. I'm just barely hanging on. And if God don't come, I'm a done deal. You hear me? I get out there so far. But it's the most thrilling life I've ever had. See, I got this joy. Yeah, down in my heart. I got this joy, down in my heart to stay. Woo! The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Woo! Hallelujah. Love it. Okay. I don't even know where I was at. Okay. When, yeah, it's going to cost you a lot. Now listen to what God said. He told me to tell this everywhere I go. I several years ago made this commitment. I have a ministry, and it's a ministry of to help anybody that has a need. And there is no respect to person. This ministry is to help everybody who has a need. It doesn't matter. And they call me if they're on drugs and they have nowhere to spend the night. It doesn't matter. They are God's child. Amen. And if my child was out there with nowhere to spend the night, I would want you to give my child a room. There was no room for Jesus. I'm going to make room for his babies. I'm going to make room for his children all the days of my life. I promised this woman, I went, our associate pastor, Brother Charles, couldn't die. He was sick. He had cancer. And God healed him one time. And then the next, about a year later, the cancer came back, and Brother Charles was needing to die but couldn't. And I said, God, why can Brother Charles not go home to be with you? Because he loves you. And he said, he's worried about his wife. So I said, oh, is that what it is? So I went to Brother Charles and I said, Brother Charles, God told me you're worried about your wife. That's why you can't go on to be with Jesus. He said, that's it. And I said, me and Dennis, that's my husband, I said, we will take care of your wife all her days. Now you just go on home and be with Jesus. So he died the next morning. Yeah, because, see, he was at peace because he knew if we said we would take care of her, we would. So, okay. So she's doing good after he passes away, and we check on her a lot, and she doesn't need anything. So she married again. And then about 5 years into the marriage, just the other day in January, she calls me, and the husband leaves and empties the bank account. So I said, well, my goodness, how much money do you need? And she said, I said, how much will you need every month? And she told me. And if you would have thought about it in the natural, it was a very staggering amount. But guess what? I'm supernatural. I done tack me a super on my natural. Do you think I made a commitment to her? And I said, God, thank you, Lord. And I told her, I said, don't ever even give it a thought. When do you need this money by? What day of the month? And she told me, and I said, oh, hallelujah. That's wonderful. And I called my husband, and he went and took her money right then, because I was in Minnesota. And then God has been so faithful, and you know what God spoke to me after that and said? He said, when you made the commitment, now everybody listen to this, because this will help you as you love your neighbor as yourself. He said, when you made the commitment, I saw your faith. And he said, I stepped out to meet you there. Supernaturally. Yeah. Listen, I've made commitments to so many people. I pay so many people's bills every month because it ain't my money. It's God's. And you know what? If he can get it through you, he'll get it to you if he can get it through you. And you know what he said to me one time? I was doing this service in our church, and this was a good while back, several years ago, and he said, when you minister tonight, He said, I want you to give, tell everybody it's got a need to come up, and I want you to write them a check for ever how much they need. And I said, God, do I have to tell my husband this? And he said, it'll be all right, just do it. I said, okay, God. You know, Mary, the mother of Jesus, left us some powerful words. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. So I said, okay, God, because see, my husband had to work late and he wasn't going to be able to make the service. Can you say hallelujah? Woo, praise the Lord. Well, I got out of there with about just under $3,000 less than I had when I went in there. And I just said, who cares, God? Show money anyway. If you wanna pay their rent and their power bills and give them some grocery money and gas money to get to work, hallelujah, it's your money and your kids. So I'm coming back from Minnesota, and I leave Chicago. And I'm a faithful, my husband and I are faithful tithers. I tithe my ministry and give offerings. I tithe every, if I find 10 cents, I tithe a penny of that 10 cents. I tithe groceries when I go to the store. I tithe, whoo, and it's helpful now. I tithe toilet paper. And I tithe paper towels. I tithe everything I can get my hands on, and I never run out of nothing. See, I know how to have an abundant supply. He said his word, but my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Well, who is God? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. Shall who? Men given to your bosom. For with whatsoever measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Okay, so I'm on the plane. I'm about 45 minutes out of Chicago going to Birmingham. And all of a sudden God says to me, and I wrote it down because, see, I write stuff down so I can go back and remember and remember and remember and be moved with compassion and to be obedient. Okay, so he says to me, I desire you to tithe 20% of everything that comes to you and give an offering. He said, I desire to see how much I can bless you with. I said, okay, God. He said, I want to see what I can trust you with. Oh, Lord Jesus. Listen, love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. Is it going to cost you something? Yes. Is it going to cost you money? It is. Is it going to cost you time? It is. Is it going to cost you change of plans? It is. Is it going to richly reward you? It is. When you hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Well done, good and faithful servant. Look at, I think it might be Romans 13. God is speaking this. I think it's Romans 13, 8. I think it says, love, owe no man anything but to love him, for he that has loved another has fulfilled the law. There's another one that he is speaking to me now concerning. Romans 13:10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And Galatians 5:14 and James 2:8, and then we will be ready to pray for anybody who needs prayer. Galatians 5:14. Whew, hallelujah. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now let's look at James 2:8. I believe we're going to see. I believe we're going to see something powerful here. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. So, if you love your neighbor as yourself, he has to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. If you love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But you can't have respect to person. You can't love everybody but that old mean miser over there that lives two doors down. One time there was a woman, I was born again in the Baptist church, and I love everybody. I've always, even in the world, I loved people. I love people. And all of a sudden, I noticed that when I go to this church, this one woman, she does not like me. I'd never seen her before. I'd never given her, even talked to her, but she don't like me. Well, I try to win her, but she won't. She won't talk to me. She despises me, and you can see it, and people are seeing it. And I'm thinking, I said, so what I should have done from the get-go was go to the Lord and say, Lord, what shall I do? Because he knows the end from the beginning. So finally, last resort, when I'd wore myself out trying with her, I went to the Lord. How often do we do that? We forget he is there. Okay, so I go to the Lord and I said, Lord, what am I going to do with this woman? I love her and I want her to love me. And he said, find out what she likes. How simple is that? So I go to this other woman and I said, I named her name, he said, find out what she loves. So I said, what does she love? And they said, trailing petunias. And I thought, help me. So I go to this place, and this was back when I didn't know what I know now. And I had three teenage boys in the house and two grandsons and me and my husband. And it was taking, you try to feed three teenage boys, they're bottomless pits. They are. They'll eat a loaf of bread. The loaf of bread will go, and it's gone. And I said, okay, God, we don't have any money. I'm going to have to take grocery money to buy these trailing petunias. So I drive an hour round trip, spend $30, $15 a basket on the most beautiful fuchsia color trailing petunias you have ever beheld. They look like the kingdom. I take them to her, best friends ever since. Can you believe? Two pots of flowers. Oh, I saw her not long ago at my sister-in-law's birthday party, and she walked out to my car and did not want me to leave. She loves me. Two pots of petunias. Who would have thought it? Was it worth it? Oh, my goodness. It's worth any amount you spend. And I found this. Any amount you spend, do you think God can give it back to you? Okay, then. Yeah. That'll work. Okay. Father, what beautiful people. In the glorious name of Jesus, I come before your throne of grace because you invited me to come. And you said, come boldly, that I may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So now, here I am. And I'm sure with all these beautiful children of yours, the need is great in this place. So I ask that every need be met according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That every heart be changed. That every life be touched. That the residue of you would fall upon each and every one. And as we walk out these doors today, we'll carry living water to a thirsty world. I ask God that you would do that for your people. I ask that the need of the needy be met through us as we stir up the gifts in us, as we realize that we are representatives, that we are ambassadors for Christ, the highest ranking representative in the government. And by the way, don't concern yourself with the government. I read in Isaiah that the government rests on his shoulder. One shoulder. It didn't say he was hunched over and bowed over with the weight of it. It said, and the government, unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall rest on his shoulder, shall be on his shoulder. Shoulder. And of peace, there won't be no end. Hey, when you love like God's calling us to love, you'll have so much peace. Perfect love is love's perfected in you. And if it couldn't be perfected, he wouldn't tell you that perfect love will cast out fear. Hey, you won't have to get rid of fear. Love will kick it out. I like it. All right, then. Everybody stand to your feet. Woo, hallelujah. All right, you can move that. That'd be fine. Well, I'll get my Bible. Okay. We can go on. I'm good. Okay. Woo, mercy. Woo, hallelujah. Oh, yes. Okay. All right, y'all. Whew. First, I would like to extend to you, if you don't know this Jesus I've been talking about today, what he wants to do, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and you shall find what? Rest unto your souls. For my burden is what? Burden's light. Now, he just wants to yoke up with you. You don't have to be perfect. And you don't have to think that, oh, if I mess up, he's going to leave me. No. He said, come unto me if you're weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So if anybody here today needs some rest, if anybody here today need somebody to help you carry your load, the Lord Jesus Christ is here, and he desires to yoke up with you today, and he desires to pull the load that is bearing you so far down. Anybody? Anybody want to come? Anybody say, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Okay, does there anybody need prayer? Oh. All right. Come on, sister. She's going to take all she can get. Hey, there's something wrong with you if you don't come get all you can get. Oh, hallelujah. All right. Do I give you this?
Yeah, if you want prayer with Judy, come up here quickly. And ushers, you'll just gather around. And if you want prayer, come up quickly. And Judy will minister to you.